There was another troubled silence. A couple of people near Victor moved away. Dibbler was staring at him. Victor could hear, coming from under his chair, an almost inaudible little voice.
"Oh, of course. There's always a part for Laddie. What's he got that I haven't got? That's what I'd like to know."
Dibbler was still staring fixedly at Victor. Then he said,
"You're right. You're right. Victor's right. Why didn't anyone else spot it?"
"That's just what I was thinking, Uncle," said Sol hurriedly. "We need to flesh it out a bit."
Dibbler waved his cigar vaguely.
"We can think up some more stuff as we go. No problem. Like, how about a chariot race? People always like a chariot race. It's gripping. Will he fall out? When will the wheels come off? Yeah, a chariot race."
"I've been reading a bit about the Civil War," said Sol cautiously, "and I don't think there's any mention of
there not being chariot races, am I right?"
said Dibbler, in soapy tones containing the razor blade of menace. Sol sagged.
"Since you put it like that, Uncle," he said, "you're right."
"And," Dibbler stared reflectively, "we could try a great big shark."
Even Dibbler sounded slightly surprised at his own suggestion. Sol looked hopefully at Victor.
"I'm almost certain sharks didn't fight in the Civil War," said Victor.
"You sure?"
"I'm sure people would have noticed," said Victor.
"They'd have got trampled by the elephants," muttered Sol. "Yeah," said Dibbler sadly. "It was just a thought. Don't know why I said it, really."
He stared at nothing for a while and then shook his head briskly. A shark, Victor thought. All the little golden fishes of your own thoughts are swimming away happily, and then the water moves and this great shark of a thought comes in from outside. As if someone's doing our thinking for us.
"You just don't know how to behave," Victor told Gaspode when they were alone. "I could hear you grumbling under the chair the whole time."
"I might not know how to behave, but at least I don't go mooning around over some girl who's letting dreadful creatures of the night into the world," said Gaspode.
"I should hope not," said Victor, and then, "What do you mean?"
"Ah, now he listens. Your girlfriend..."
"She's not my girlfriend."
"Would-be girlfriend," said Gaspode, "is going out every night and trying to open that door in the hill. She tried it again last night after you'd gone and saw her."
"I stopped her," he added defiantly. "Not that I expect any credit, of course. There's some dreadful in there, and she's letting it out. No wonder she's always late and tired in the mornings, what with spending the whole night digging."
"How do you know they're dreadful?" said Victor weakly.
"Put it like this," said Gaspode. "If something's shoved in a cave under a hill behind great big doors, it's not 'cause people want it to come out every night and wash the dishes, is it? Course," he added charitably, "I'm not saying she knows she's doing it. Probably they've got a grip on her weak and feeble cat-loving female mind and are twisting it to their evil will."
"You do talk a lot of crap sometimes," said Victor, but he didn't sound very convincing, even to himself.
"Ask her then," said the dog smugly.
"I will."
"Right."
Exactly how, though, thought Victor, as they trudged out into the sunshine. "Excuse me, miss, my dog says that you..." "No." "I say, Ginger, I understand that you're going out and..." "No." "Hey, Ginge, how come my dog's..." "No." Perhaps he should just start up a conversation and wait until it got round naturally to monstrosities from beyond the void. But it would have to wait because of the row that was going on. It was over the third major part in Blown Away. Victor was, of course, the dashing but dangerous hero. Ginger was the only possible choice for the female lead, but the second male role, the dull but dutiful one, was causing trouble. Victor had never seen anyone stamp their foot in anger before. He'd always thought it was something they did only in books. But Ginger was doing it.
"Because I'd look an idiot, that's why," she was saying.
Sol, who was by now feeling like a lightning rod on a stormy day, waved his hand frantically.
"But he's ideal for the role," he said. "It calls for a solid character."
"Solid? Of course he's solid. He's made of stone," shouted Ginger. "He might have a suit of chainmail and a false mustache, but he's still..."